may be pleased to help me, friends, I will direct your attention to Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 17. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The second chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse 17. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This word will only have an effect upon those who know they're sinners. Are there any here? I would emphasize the word know, my friends. So many have a casual regard to it. So many are acquainted with it. But those whom the Lord loves will have a knowledge of it. Are there any sinners here who have been taught of God? Oh, it is a mercy, friends, to be taught of God. There are so many today who are taught by men, and there they are satisfied to remain. It is so nice, isn't it, to go into the house of God and hear a man preach well. To have your ears tickled. Does some of you know what it means? But how soon do you forget his word? How soon does it go from your memory, the things that he told you? But are there some in this place this evening who've been taught of God? Have you forgotten what he told you? Nay, my friends, when the Lord teaches a people, he sears it in their hearts and minds. It remains. We've evidence of this, haven't we? For there are, from time to time, those who lose their natural memory due to old age very often. But here and there they can tell you of what the Lord did for them. They remember those things. It is a mercy then, if tonight there are some of us here, all of us, if the Lord would have it so, who've been taught of God, they're sinners and they need mercy. Again, there's a great point here, friends, not only to know you're a sinner, but to know you have a need of mercy because you're a sinner. For those who are found sinners in God's sight, when they come to the end of the journey in this life, they'll go to hell. Men don't believe in it, do they? Becomes oft times a word to use in common language, hell. Men use it in a way of derision often. But you know, you'll go to hell and so shall I, unless there be a blessed mediator standing between. A blessed intercessor to make peace with an offended God. You and I will go to that place that men deride. But those who've been taught they're sinners by the living God will also be taught a need of mercy. And having been brought into that place, they won't remain there. They'll seek that mercy. Do you? The Lord Jesus spoke very plainly before those who sneered at him in his day, and they did. How they tried to find fault with Jesus. and those who stood about feeling so able in themselves, so self-righteous, and many of them the Pharisees. And how they spoke set forth in the previous verse. When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" They wanted to find fault with him. And the Lord Jesus set it forth so clearly. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And 'tis only sinners, taught by a kind and gracious God, the need of mercy, who seek that great physician, a precious Christ." Are you amongst them, friends? Have you got a need? You come into chapel tonight with an appetite for mercy. How do you attain to such an appetite? There's a cause. Not only is it a kind and gracious God that gives such an appetite, but there's a reason for that appetite, isn't there? It's because there's sin behind it that needs clearing. This so in your case, tonight. It is a mercy, friends, to come into the house of God with a need rather than to come in blown up with pride. I go to chapel regularly. I belong to a little people who are a good people. I attend to those things that are right in the sight of God. It is a mercy, friends, to come in poor and needy sometimes. That's the way you come in tonight. Oh, that I could find the Lord. Oh, that he would find me. Oh, that he would speak to my soul. Oh, that he would revive within me some life. You know anything of this way? They that are whole need not the physician. We need again and again, my friends, though we make profession, to be turned upside down. The flesh, utterly ruined, soon gets blown up, soon becomes proud. Any stranger to this? The children of God need to be brought into this place of exercise from time to time. Lord, help me. Oh, don't let me be satisfied. Don't leave me in this place of self-satisfaction. My friends, 'tis easy to point fingers at others. Where do we stand? Where are you tonight, sinner? How have you come in? What's the day been like? Been a good day, has it? You kept the whole law of God today, have you? You said your prayers, read your Bible, satisfied your God. You don't say it, do you? Might have read your Bible and might have said your prayers, but have you kept the whole law of God? Been perfect today? No sin? They that are whole need not the physician. Who was the Lord Jesus speaking about here? Well, the self-righteous ones are the whole. They that feel their whole, perfect, no sin, clean in the sight of God. No, they don't need the physician because they feel they have no need of repentance. What about you? Who is this physician? 'Tis a precious Jesus. What does he mean to you, sinner? Is he precious to you in salvation, in desire? Wonderful mercy if you can say yes to this. For you're not found amongst these characters of whom the Lord Jesus speaks, for those who feel themselves to be whole, perfect, righteous, the self-righteous ones. these people who desire to know a precious Jesus. They're those whom the Lord loves with an everlasting love. They're poor and needy people, you amongst them. Now this character has got an experience, and it's not an easy one to the flesh. For this character from time to time goes down into the belly of hell. My experience, friends of the gospel and the precious Christ, isn't perhaps always sweet to the taste. For the pathway of a child of God won't always be an easy one. It won't always be following hard after a precious Jesus with sweet desires. Sometimes 'twill be seeking to go in the opposite direction under the power of sin. Do you know anything of this way? If the Lord has called you out of nature's darkness, friends, according to his eternal purpose of salvation for your soul, the enemy won't love you. The enemy, too, knows a lot about you, more than you know about yourself. And he'll bring you at times into this very place, the belly of hell. Have you been there? My friends, unless you pass this way in the course of your life, you're not in the right way. If you've got a religion where everything is easy, there's something wrong with it. If you've got a religion whereby you can keep a straight course with your eyes fixed on Jesus all the time, Satan's at the bottom of your religion, not your God. The children of the living God have a checkered pathway. It's a battle to get to heaven. And the flesh, your flesh, not someone else's, will battle against the ways of your God. And Satan will help you to do it. And at times, you'll find yourself in the belly of hell. You'll need this physician to get you out. This great physician, King Jesus, he who will get his people out of the belly of hell, because his purpose is everlasting love toward them. He is the Almighty God, the Son of God, the Son of Man. His name is Jesus, and his purpose, right from before the world began, was to have a people with him in glory. And this people, you amongst them, will need him, the great physician, again and again to deliver them from themselves. Strange path, isn't it? You might expect it to be enemies from outside. For the most part, it'll be enemies from within. They that are whole need not the physician. This character is one utterly ruined through the fall, corrupt, entirely corrupt, everything rotten in his flesh through sin. How can such a one continue in the right way? Unless this great physician from time to time heal him from the pollution that is within him. Is this your character, sinner? Not very nice, is it? But oh, what a mercy. The Lord Jesus says, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And this physician, this precious Jesus, is able to deliver from the lowest hell. He's able to deliver from the deepest pollution. He's able to succor and to save everyone that is lost in this way. Is he your God, friends? What evidence have you got? Are you found amongst this people who need this physician? What evidence have you got? One day this question will be asked solemnly when you come to die. For friends, unless you can produce a living evidence of being found in Christ, it'll be out of darkness throughout eternity to come. The children of God have got some evidences this side of death. You got any? What are they? Communion with this blessed physician. Lord, help me. Those three little words, these characters at times live upon them. Their days are spent in pleading with this great physician. Lord, help me. What is the help for? It's help so that one will not be left to continue in those things that emanate from a wicked, deceitful heart. Is it a bad picture? Is this an ill-favored picture of you, my friends? It isn't of me. But oh, there's so much mercy in it. For this character who needs this blessed physician, being sick in himself, utterly undone through the ruin of the fall, born in sin, shapen in iniquity as he knows himself to be, he finds in this blessed physician all that he needs. For there's favour shown to this character as he pleads, Lord, help me. Have you had any such favour? He answers this petition from time to time. He condescends to lift this poor worm of the earth up into heaven. What does this mean? He breathes into his soul peace. You never had any? Never known for one moment what it has been to be delivered from your wretched condition? Never found this man to be the Prince of Peace, this great physician? Never had a word from the King in a day of trouble? You must be out of the way. But this great physician, friends, if he's dealt with you in making known to you your utter ruin, that which belongs to your old nature, and he's brought you into a place of need, he has blessed you, hasn't he? You can look back and find some place where he's made known to you his love, can't you? My friends, the enemy will try to take it away from you. He'll try to cut you off. And this is the pathway, the battle between sin and Satan and hell and wretched self. But this great physician says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If the character we've tried to set forth, wretched though it be, if it fits your case, what wondrous words we've now got to look at. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we've got a beautiful illustration in the chapter we read together. Now that poor woman of Samaria, the life that apparently she led, and Jesus came to call her out of that darkness and to reveal to her who he was. Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He came to call that poor woman out of her wretched condition, reveal unto her that though she lived in sin and was living in sin, he loved her with an everlasting love. Her sin had been put away according to his eternal purpose in that triune Jehovah's purpose of love and salvation towards sinners. Her sin had been put away before she was born. And in the appointed time, he called her out of nature's darkness and revealed unto her what he was, a precious Christ. Has he done it for you? What about your life, poor sinner? It's not what men think of it. It's what God thinks of it. God, through that precious Jesus, knew all about that poor woman of Samaria, but he fulfilled the word that is before us tonight. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's no doubt about it, she bowed before him when he revealed himself to her. She fell at his dear feet, for she was so full of him, she went and told her friends, come, see a man, a precious Christ. There's mercy, friends, wherever you are. If this kind and gracious God loves you, he'll find you. He'll sort you out wherever you are, and he'll bring you to himself. What a blessed doctrine is the doctrine of election. I know how nature cavils at it. I can look back into my own life, though there was never anything open in this way, I've known it in my mind, saying to myself, is this fair, that they should be separated, brought out by this God, and others left? What a mercy, friends, when a little hope bubbles up in the heart that there's love there for Jesus. For I tell you, if there's love in your heart to this precious man, 'tis because his own spirit has put it there. And if he's put that love in your heart to Christ, 'tis because he set your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chosen in him ere time began, and no man will ever separate you from your God, nor devil either. Although again and again this Satan accuses you, sees the things that are in your heart if he can't see any outward actions, he tells you you've lost the way, tells you you've got no God, tells you you've got no hope. If at times there's something bubbling up, seeking this precious man to make manifest his love toward you, it's his own blessed work. I came not to call the righteous, not those who go about with a self-satisfied smile upon their faces. I'm holy. I live a good life. I do things that are right in the sight of God. Not those. I come to call those who feel themselves to be out of the way, who groan inwardly again and again, I don't know what to do. Everything seems to go wrong when I try to do right. Those who call again and again upon this great and mighty God, have mercy upon my poor soul. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Is there any repentance in your heart, sinner? Oh, you don't need to stand as the Pharisees did, setting forth all these things before men. You don't need to go into the house of God, into a prayer meeting, and pour out your heart publicly. The Lord knows what's in your heart in private. It is an infinite mercy to know for yourself not what other men think of you, or what other men see or hear of you, but what you know of yourself before your God in private. If you are able to say at times, Lord, thou knowest, all my desire is before thee, my groanings are not hid from thee, Lord, don't leave me in this wretched place, have mercy upon my poor soul. That be with you, sinner. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he'll bless you. Oh, what favor it is to be found near your God in humility and confession of sin. What's the answer now? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Men speak of this at times as though it were of no account. They quote it. But I tell you, friends, that precious, precious blood of Jesus, pleaded by a poor, hell-deserving sinner, lisped by him at times, humbly, trembling, helpless in self, Lord, help me to plead the blood of Jesus. Do you know what the effect will be? When I see the blood, I will pass over. It's not history, friends. It's not that account in the Old Testament of the avenging angel passing over when he saw the blood of beasts on the lintels and the doorposts. It's the living God, his infinite justice, obtaining satisfaction at the sight of the blood of his well-beloved Son. Satisfaction given which putteth away all sin and brings in a full redemption for the vilest of sinners. Blessed character whose eyes are fixed on Christ. It's what he's done, sinner, not what you shall ever do or what you seek to attain to do. Is what your Jesus has brought in for you, an everlasting salvation. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, 'tis sweet to look to Jesus, kind as strong, to believe it, friends, pity and mercy. And it's joined with power, the power of your God, the living God. Oh, more and more I desire of him to enable me to set these things forth as living realities, friends. It's not just something you read in Gadsby's hymn book and say because it's there it must be right. It's a living experience of a sinner looking to Jesus and proving him to be kind and as strong as he is kind, able to deliver from hell because he is Jesus. It's a living religion, friends. It's not something taken up by men. It's the gift of God. Sweet, precious faith given to a cast out sinner, cast out by a holy God, until he sees his dear son standing in his room place instead. Real things, these are. What's your religion mean to you, sinner? Does it bring you before him from time to time, seeking his gracious help in the way? Do you live by your God and on your God? Here's how you'll get to heaven, sinner. It's not coming to chapel week in and week out. That's not the essence of real religion. It's a right thing to do, to worship as helped in spirit and in truth publicly. But a living soul will worship his God in his life, away from chapel, as he moves about, whether it be in the home or in his business, wherever it be, seeking that he will go before him in the way, pleading with him to help him when he falls, pleading that his spirit will make known unto him of the power of precious atoning blood to deliver him from death. Where are you, sinner? Our word says, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, are you sick? Sick of self sometimes, sick of the way, sick of sin. You look to Jesus, blessed character. They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. You won't die that way, sinner. Sick in life often because of the many things that spring out of your ruined nature. But one day 'twill be fashioned in a body like unto his glorious body. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more death, swallowed up in a precious Christ. Is this real? They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's look for a moment or two and see if we can find some evidences. Some men deride it. And they're not all in the world. Some religious men do. But it's sweet to look back and see your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, isn't it? How do you do that? Look back and see if you can find one or two spots in your life when Jesus was precious to your soul. You don't have to have your name on the church book either to have such places as that. Some of you here haven't got your name on the church book. But dare you say your name isn't in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's tried, isn't it? You're concerned about it, aren't you? Why are you? In case it isn't. Who gave you such a concern as that? And what does it matter to you whether it is or not? It is, my friends, because the Spirit of God hath revealed unto you a precious Christ, made him precious to you in desire. You want to be right, don't you? Look back to the beginning. Haven't you got one? Wasn't there a former day with you when things were not the same? A day when it didn't matter like it does today? Well, there was a beginning, wasn't there? There was a time of change. And when that change began, there was a hankering after Christ, wasn't there? Satan will dispute with you over these things, and he'll endeavor to cover them up. But he can't blot them out, can he? there have been some times in your past experience when Jesus was precious to your soul, when he visited you, when he spoke into your soul words of life. It isn't fantasy, is it, friends? And what's the evidence of this? Because you can't give it up, can you? You wouldn't want it washed out, would you? No, you want it to come again, don't you, sinner? You want the Lord to bless your soul again. You want him to revive those times of love. You want him to confirm with a living, precious kiss salvation in your soul. It's his own work, sinner. They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick, and that's where you are. You want him to come again and heal your soul with that loving kindness and tender mercy that is inherent in the manhood of a precious Christ. Come and bless me, Lord. This is your desire, isn't it? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It isn't self-righteousness with you. It doesn't cause you to go about with your head high in the air, does it? Found amongst those who would sooner sit at the back than stand in the front of men. It's the work of God. The grace of God brings one into a place of humility. It brings him again and again to this place. He must increase, I must decrease. Blessed character. They that are whole need not the physician. You won't die without him, sinner. He's going to make it over to you in his own good time. He's going to tell you with sweet assurance he loves you forever. What the Lord does is perfect. He doesn't begin and leave the matter. What he begins, he finishes. He'll bring you home to glory. Ah, but friends, it isn't only those who are in this way of seeking. It's you who have found. You to whom the Lord hath made himself precious. You want him too, don't you? Again, they that are whole need not the physician. You who've made public profession, you who've joined the church, you can't rest there, can you? You want those days to return again, the days when he dandled you upon his knee, when with that almighty power he forced you in. Satan's been many times since then, hasn't he? He's convinced you you're a sinner still. How has he done that? By showing you time and time again your weakness. Brought you into places where you've fallen again, hasn't he? This great arch-enemy of your soul, he never separates you from your God. He's open to your understanding. They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. And it simply confirmed again to you, none but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Oh, these are blessed realities, friends. 'Tis the pathway of a child of God, called by free and sovereign grace, brought to an understanding of his entire helplessness in his old nature. dependent upon a kind and gracious God. But the words of Jesus will ever suffice. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My friends, if he brings you to his dear feet, pleading mercy for his own great name's sake, he'll carry you through all the changing scenes of time until he takes you home to glory. His name is in it. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll fight your battles for you. He'll prove the word given in the Old Testament. The battle is not yours, but God's. It is for Jesus' sake. The end will be sure. There is that rest then that remaineth for the people of God. It's a rest you come into the house of God for at times, isn't it? A rest from the things of this life, to be separated for a little while from the troubles that arise again and again, to be found in the little of that peace that is centered in Jesus. But that rest that remaineth for the people of God will be a permanent rest, swallowed up in everlasting love in the rolling ages of eternity. Do you look forward, sinner, sometimes? It's certain. None will ever be able to alter that. The enemy with all his charges against you, all his endeavors to separate you from your God, never be able to alter that certainty. They shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. One day 'twill be to see him whom your soul loveth, a precious Jesus. Is there anything comparable to him here? What a question. Here again we prove it, don't we? The flesh battling against the spirit. For the flesh says sometimes, well, I'm going to get as much comfort as I can while in this world, and seeks for it. But when the Spirit of God opens a little of a living Jesus to the soul, what can compare with his beauty? King Jesus, all your salvation. May the Lord help us then, encourage us a little in his word tonight. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord added.